This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the moment I heard about the reclusive puppeteer rumored to reside in our sleepy town, my curiosity was piqued. Tales of his eerie lifelike puppets and the mesmerizing performances that captivated the hearts of an older generation filled my evenings all through my childhood. My grandma would go on and on about how he was practically a local celebrity and the only source of entertainment for many decades. His show is called Local Ralph, and he apparently had a main puppet named Ralphie, who he would descend from the unseen rafters from his strings at the beginning of the show, and then shoot right back up at the end to roaring applause. There was singing, dancing, if you can say that a puppet danced, interspersed with a few comedy skits. I would listen to my family's tales about the show for hours, and that went on for many years. It wasn't until last week, as I neared my 20th birthday, that I was thinking about the old puppeteer stories and suddenly wondered whatever happened to him. If he was really so popular in this town, why had I only heard about him from my grandparents? There's not any memorials to the guy around town or any mention of him whatsoever. The next time I was at my grandma's house, I asked her about it, and what she told me only strengthened my curiosity. She said that about 40 years ago, just before my mom was born, a sign went up outside of the local theater announcing that Local Ralph would be giving his final performance there in a week, and that the theater would be closing its doors for good immediately after. The town was shocked and confused, but no one could get a hold of the puppeteer to ask him any questions. They went to his house, but he never answered the door, and the folks who owned the theater were similarly elusive. However, when it came time for the final performance, he did not disappoint. The doors opened to the theater that day, and nearly the entire town tried to pile in. They said his final show was his masterpiece. A performance so beautiful and haunting, half the crowd left the theater that night with tears running down their face. And then, he was gone. After everyone piled out at their own pace, the doors shut of their own accord for a final time, and the next day, she found the doors boarded up. When the locals went to try and visit the puppeteer's house once more, a for sale sign was up on the front lawn. No one ever did see him again. No one in this town, at least. She said he was spoken of often for a few years, but eventually it just got too somber. Everyone had moved on in their lives. A local bowling alley was set up, so there was a little more entertainment to replace the loss. But ultimately, that was it. The show just up and vanished one day. This intrigued me so much, I decided to try and investigate the situation myself. Determined to uncover the truth, I sought out the abandoned theater, the only place Local Ralph ever performed, as far as my grandma knew. I didn't know what I might find, but but I had a strong feeling there'd be something there. The theater loomed ominously at the end of a nearly forgotten alley, so far in the outskirts of town, it was practically the country, its grandeur buried under decades of neglect. I arrived around midnight, wanting to keep as low a profile as possible. As I approached, I realized the door was no longer boarded up as my grandma described, but was in fact ajar. It creaked open at my touch, revealing a cavernous interior swallowed by shadows. Dust motes danced in the slivers of moonlight that penetrated the darkness, and the air smelled of mildew and forgotten memories of decades past. Armed with a flashlight and my old digital camera, I took a few deep breaths and walked forward. I ventured deeper, drawn by a compulsion I couldn't explain, and eventually reached the open theater. And when I aimed my flashlight towards the stage, I was suddenly stunned, frozen in place by the bizarre sight before me. The stage was set as if the puppeteer had merely stepped out for a moment, the props and scenery still there, but coated in dust. It was like the puppeteer had simply dropped all of his props and tools across the stage at the end of that last performance years ago and just walked out. My flashlight panned across the stage. In the center, a lone puppet stood, its painted eyes seeming to follow me as I moved. It looked almost like a businessman, the puppet looking to have combed back black hair and a black tuxedo. It was unsettlingly lifelike, and for a moment, I could have sworn I saw it breathe. There was another reason I decided to investigate the old puppet show. The previous day, I had asked my grandma if she had any idea why the puppeteer would have left or where, and if there were ever any rumors about where he went. She got real silent at that. After a few moments, she told me something so strange, I thought she was joking at first. But she was completely and utterly serious. Rumors claimed the puppeteer had discovered the secret to infusing his creations with life. That was all she told me at first. I asked her what she was talking about or what that even means. She told me that the final show was so mesmerizing, so beautiful and perfect, that in hindsight, amongst the people of the town, the line between puppet and human seemed to blur terrifyingly. Once people started talking about how the puppeteer was a master at some hidden and arcane technologies, suddenly a couple of people in town began claiming to have seen things. Just strange things. Like the puppeteer going out to the woods late into the AMs, and someone claimed to have found an unordinarily large vial of liquid mercury in his house, shortly before he disappeared. But there wasn't enough information to work with, and the uncomfortable situation the town had been given led to everyone just quietly letting it all be. I thought about all of this as I stared at the dust-coated puppet. Shaking off the unease, I decided to explore further, hoping to find some more remnants of the past. I noticed a door to the right on stage that I assumed would take me to some places that were considered restricted access back in the day. Climbing atop the stage, I carefully tiptoed around the artifacts, and after finding the back door to be unlocked, I walked inside. At first, I didn't understand where I was. But in a flash, I realized I had found myself in the puppeteer's workshop, countless figures hung in silent judgment. They were all across the ceiling, dangling from various heights on hooks and chains. Despite the eerie sight, each puppet was a masterpiece, their expressions etched with emotions too raw for mere wood and paint. I carefully walked forward, trying my best to not brush up against the rusty tools and instruments that littered the workbenches to both my left and right. But as I scanned the flashlight across the floor, I saw a stack of books. Leaning down, I quickly rifled through. Among them, I found the puppeteer's journal, and as I opened to a random page, I began to read. Date, March 6th. Year, not discernible. The crescendo of my life's work nears its peak, and I pen this entry with hands trembling not with age, but exhilaration. Tonight, under the cloak of darkness, I stand on the precipice of eternity, gazing into the abyss that separates the mortal coil from the immortal soul. My journey, once dismissed as a fool's errand, has led me to the cusp of transcendence. I have nearly perfected the art of capturing the very essence of life itself, the soul, and binding it to my creations. For years I toiled in obscurity, my audience none wiser to the alchemy that unfolded before their very eyes. My puppets, once mere vessels of wood and cloth, have become hosts to the wandering spirits I've managed to ensnare. With each performance, the line between puppet and puppeteer blurred until they danced with a life not their own. The critics raved, unaware that the marionette's lifelike movements were not a testament to my skill alone, but to the souls that flickered within. But what is a puppeteer without his final act? A mere craftsman? No, I yearn for more. Immortality. Not through the legacy of my name nor the continued existence of my creations, but true, unending life. To achieve this, I must undertake the ultimate performance, one that will see my soul leave its fleshly confines and take residence within a puppet of my own design. This vessel, my magnum opus, will not only house my spirit, but will grant me the freedom to perform eternally, my art forever preserved against the ravages of time. The process is delicate, a dance of shadow and light. I have sculpted Ralphie into a mirror of my form, imbued with materials not of this earth, but forged from the shadows that dwell at the edge of our vision. Within its chest, I have placed a heart of oak, carved with symbols of ancient power, a receptacle for my soul. The ritual requires a moonless night, when the veil between worlds is thinnest and the spirits are most restless. Tonight the skies have darkened to a pitch black, as if the universe itself consents to my ascension. The method of soul transference is arcane, a forbidden knowledge that I stumbled upon within the dusty pages of a tome older than time. It spoke of a ritual, one that demands the currency of the soul to bridge the gap between the living and the ethereal. I have made the necessary preparations, the circle drawn, the candles lit, and the incantations memorized. The air is thick with anticipation, or perhaps it is fear, for even I cannot fully foresee the outcome of this night's work. To ensure success, I have rehearsed the ritual in my mind 1,000 times. The soul, my soul, must be coaxed from its mortal shell, guided by will and word, into its new home. The danger is palpable, for a misstep could mean not transcendence, but complete oblivion. Yet, the lure of eternal life, to exist beyond the constraints of flesh, to perform my art until the end of all days, outweighs the terror that gnaws at the edges of my resolve. This journal, perhaps my final testament, will remain as a record of my ambition, or a cautionary tale for those who dare to tread the path I have chosen. Should I succeed, I will shed the trappings of humanity and emerge anew, a being of wood and spirit, bound to neither age nor death. My performances will be endless, a legacy written not in the annals of history, but in the very fabric of reality. Should this be my last entry, let it be known that I did not falter in the face of eternity. I embraced it with open arms and a heart alight with the purest form of artistic devotion. The puppeteer's last performance is at hand, and it shall be his greatest. With this, I close my journal and prepare to step into the circle. The candles flicker as if in applause. The shadows gather as my audience. The final act begins, and the curtain rises on a stage not of this world. Farewell, for now or forever. The puppeteer takes his bow. I close the book, barely able to take a breath. I couldn't believe it. The rumors my grandma had spoken of were in fact true. Shocked and disturbed by the contents of the puppeteer's journal, I resolved right then and there to leave as quickly as possible. The mystery I had so eagerly sought to unravel now felt like a noose tightening around my neck. The puppeteer may have simply been crazy, a poor man confused and disturbed, but something about what I had just read made me feel as though I wasn't safe there. I dropped the book and began walking. My steps quickened as I made my way through the theater and towards the exit, eager to distance myself from this tomb of the eerie puppet and its master's dark ambitions. But as I neared the theater's main doors, they suddenly slammed shut when I was just feet away, with an ominous finality that echoed through the cavernous space. In that very instant, as I turned back around to look for another way out, a solitary spotlight flickered to life on stage, cutting through the darkness to illuminate that puppet. Eerie, melodious music began to play from nowhere, filling the air with a haunting tune that seemed to emanate from the walls themselves. It was like carnival music. My heart raced as the puppet began to twitch, its movements initially spasmodic, then suddenly fluid and purposeful. It soared across the stage in a dance that was nothing short of mesmerizing, and the music soared along with. The puppet then began to sing, and it was shockingly beautiful. Captivated, I found myself drawn into the performance as if by a trance, my earlier fear momentarily forgotten. The puppet enacted a tale of transcendence, of a being's decision to leave its mortal form behind and embrace eternal life within another vessel, to perfect his craft in the most ultimate and final sense. As I watched, I suddenly realized that this was a mirror to the puppeteer's own story, rendered in music and motion. As I stood at the back of the theater, a fleeting moment of clarity pierced my trance, and I hastily pulled out my camera. I needed evidence of this, or no one would ever believe me. I needed proof that what I was witnessing was real. The camera's shutter clicked in the silence between the notes of the haunting melody, capturing the spectacle before me as the lights in the theater flashed from blue to pink to green to blue, and the puppet soared up into the air. Almost immediately after, I fell back into the trance, and the show went on. The performance reached its grand climax in a spectacle of light and shadow, song and dance, love and loss, and ultimate success, before an abrupt change occurred. The puppet collapsed into a lifeless heap on the floor as the music cut out midway through a song, the spotlight dimming until only darkness remained. Silence hung all around me, snapping me out of the trance, and I held my breath to hear the slightest of sounds. And then, as suddenly as they had closed, the doors behind me swung open, offering me a welcome path to the outside world. Not wanting to waste another moment, I ran from the theater as fast as my legs would carry me, not daring to look back until I was safely back in the familiarity of my own home. There, with trembling hands, I paced my living room. How in God's name would I ever get anyone to believe me? Can I even tell my grandma about this? Would she think I'm nuts? But then, I remembered the camera I had and the photos I'd taken. I rushed to turn it back on and look through the preview window on that little LCD screen. But as I reviewed the photos I had taken, seeking validation for the incredible event I had just experienced, it all came crumbling down. To my shock and horror, the images revealed not the vibrant spectacle of the puppet's final performance, but a dark, empty, lifeless stage. The puppet lay on the ground, exactly as it had before the show began, covered in a layer of undisturbed dust. Everything looked as it had when I first discovered the remnants of the stage that night. If the photos were to be believed, the show never happened, and I had been staring entranced into a dark, empty, silent stage. I was utterly dismayed. I scrolled through all of the photos I had snapped off, and all were the same. But just before I turned the camera off, I thought I saw something down in the corner of one of the pictures. I clicked the zoom button on the control panel a few times and tried to line it up with the bottom corner. And what I found took my breath away. There, in the audience, sitting backwards from the stage, staring directly at me. A single figure watched from the shadows. Its wooden limbs were limp, its black tuxedo looking slimy and soaking wet. Its painted face a grotesque mirror of the terror I felt in that moment.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Thank you all for listening to tonight's episode of Clancy Pasta. I hope you all enjoyed tonight's tale. Let me know what you thought in the comments below, and if you would like to get these episodes ad-free, as well as bonus episodes, you can head over to patreon.com/clancypasta. Huge thanks to all of my supporters over at patreon.com and also my YouTube members. I really couldn't do this without you, and I thank you all so much. I've gotten in a little bit of a groove of putting out extra videos again, so I hope you all enjoy, and I will talk to you all very soon. Good night, and cheers.